Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was Tuukka Rask in the Bruins dressing room after the game last night. Bruins beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-3. They run their record to 3-0. They are 3-0 for the first time since the 01-02 season. Former Bruins goaltender and my Nesson colleague Andrew Raycroft joins us right now. Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Morning, guys. Grinding away. Those late starts are killers in the morning.
Aren't they a little tough? Have you ever had to be helped off the ice because of cramping before?
I haven't. No, I wasn't much of a cramper. I certainly saw guys, though, that you know, had issues sometimes, and I never played in Vegas either, so there you go.
What's the plan, you think, for Tuukka Rask? Similar to last year as far as number of games are concerned? And I feel like that formula worked pretty well, and knowing that you have a solid backup, I don't see why they would do anything different.
No question. They'll keep it. They'd probably love to get right to the exact number they did last year. You know, it obviously worked out, you know, to a T. Things change, things happen, and it probably won't be exactly the same, but certainly they'll ride both of these guys as long as they can.
Now, is this something that we're going to have to keep an eye on moving forward with the potential of cramping later on down the road as well?
I don't believe so. This is the first time I recall this happening to Tuukka. I think, you know, just being in Vegas and being in the desert before that in Arizona, I'm sure, you know, he might not have got as many fluids as usual, and it just kind of happened. It was a tough game for him to play last night. Vegas is a team that goes to the net. There's a lot of forechecking, a lot of traffic, and it just seemed like it might have caught up to him at the end.
What we saw was the first game out of the three so far this year where the Bruins' top line looked like the Bruins' top line. By their own admission, they did not have a good start to the season. Bruce Cassidy took the blame and said, that's probably my fault. I didn't play him enough in the preseason. The fact that they're 3-0 and they've really only had one good game out of their top line is probably a pretty positive thing.
Certainly, you know, the first three games have been extremely positive. You know, everybody's contributed, and now to have the big line have the night they did last night. They went, after going down 2-0, the top line was on for that second goal and didn't really do a great job in their own zone. It seemed to light them up, and Patrice made a great play on the first goal and a great pass and a great, you know, all three of them, you know, just had a great night, and to get them going here before they come home is certainly a big deal.
So I think one of the biggest questions facing the team has to do with the top line, and you see a performance like last night, and you say, wow, this is the best line in hockey, and of course those guys should stay together. And yet, Andrew, all I can think about is how the playoffs ended each of the last 2 years where that wasn't the right formula, and if a team is able to limit those guys, then the rest of the scoring all just kind of falls apart. I used to be a proponent of, hey, it's the best line, of course you keep them together, but I really think they should break it up, and maybe obviously Marchand and Bergeron play so well together, you can keep those guys together, that's fine, but would they be better off, and I'm talking long term, not game three of the season, but playoffs second round, would they be better off breaking these guys up?
I don't think so. I think, you know, when you talk about secondary scoring, I think you look to guys like Jake DeBrusk and Krejci, and, you know, those guys just need to pick up more slack. I think the league, you look around the league, everyone has their line. You know, the best teams, you know, ride their horses and put those guys together. And, you know, they do have to score on the power play. I think that's one spot where maybe at the end of last season, you know, they didn't, you know, they just didn't get that one goal in that final game on the power play that they needed to get. And you can look to that, but no, I don't see them changing these, you know, switching these guys or taking these guys apart. You know, there'll be times where Pasternak will go down and they'll move them around a little bit, but at the end of the day, you need those horses together on that top line.
Now, we had Charlie McAvoy on, and he talked about Cassidy wanting the defense to be more involved in the offense, Juan. And you can kind of see it a little bit the way they're flying around there. Is, you know, Chara going to be able to keep up playing 20-plus minutes a night because he's not getting any younger? Will he be able to do that now with this new improved style of play?
Well, I think, you know, I think Z will be the one, you know, especially playing with Charlie, is, you know, Charlie will be the one going on offense. He'll be the one flying down the ice, and Z will be the guy staying back and, you know, holding things, you know, accountable in his end and make sure that the forwards are back. And so, no, he's not going to be, you know, Z's 40, over 40, and as great a shape as he in, he's not going to be the guy going up and down the ice for 22 minutes, but certainly he can play a lot of penalty kill minutes. He can play, you know, with that big stick and the long reach. He's found a way to be very efficient with his size out on the ice.
Put yourself back in your player's skates here, and you're in that Bruins dressing room. You go out on a four-game road trip to start the season. You know, a couple of the games in particular are going to be tough to win. You've got a couple of other games where you're the home opener opponent for teams. You're probably realistically thinking, man, we go 500. We're in really good shape on this thing. Now that you've won three out of four, how do you guard against being complacent? Okay, we've done our jobs here.
It can be tough. I think this group of any that I've seen, you know, in the last few years is greedy in a good way. And I think they're going to look at this like, hey, we've put ourselves in a position to get four. Let's not lay off the gas here. Let's take all four of these wins and get home, you know, on a roll. You know, we've seen them, you know, I've never played on a team that won 19 in a row. You know, we see Tuukka go on a streak with 19 the last 2 years. It's incredible. And it just goes to the way these guys think that every game is a new game, every game they can win. So I won't be surprised if, you know, I can guarantee that they're going out there saying, hey, we're going 4-0 on this trip. Let's go home with 8 points.
Don Sweeney's done a really good job of keeping the guys that he wants at pretty good value too. Whereas if they went out and were unrestricted free agents, they might've made a whole lot more. Had a couple of restricted guys this offseason, got them back for at least a couple more years in McAvoy and Carlo. But Torrey Krug, who right now is their highest paid defenseman, he will be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. What's the most likely scenario you see with Krug? Can they re-sign him during the season, or is he going to test the open market and probably cash in somewhere?
It's a great question, and I think Torrey's probably, at the end of the day, he's the only one who really knows that at this point. But if he's going to sign, I think it's going to get done before the end of the season, if he's going to sign here. If he goes out on the market, you know, you start running into getting monster deals and monster money, and to the point where, you know, you have, you know, as a player, you just can't even turn it down. And but, you know, that being said, the Bruins are going to have to move things around. That's at the end of the day, they're just going to have to move things around. It's a salary cap. They can't just give guys whatever they want. And I'm sure, you know, Don has proven, and the organization has proven, that they're ahead of this and they've done great deals. You just mentioned McAvoy and Carlo this summer. That helps. Obviously Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak are at team friendly deals at this point. So the bar's set, and if Torrey wants to stay here and he really wants to play here, then it seems as though they're going to make the deals that have to happen, but it's also going to have to be at a number that, you know, another team is probably going to give Torrey a lot more come summertime.
Is Krug worth a significant investment? Just, you know how good he is on the power play. You know what kind of offensive defenseman he is. But out of the six defensemen that play every night, he's probably the weakest defensively. And if you're talking about, you know, an upgrade from here where he would clearly be far and away the highest paid defenseman, and as you said, it's obviously a salary cap league, you can't pay everybody. Is that type of player, him specifically, is he worth a big raise?
I believe he is. You know, you look at the game and you know, obviously it's easy to go, you know, that he's, you know, weak defensively, but last night he broke up 3 2-on-1s. You know, he does it a little differently. It's going to look different than when, you know, Char is locking down, you know, a top line. Obviously with Krug's side, you know, it just doesn't, that's not what he does, but he's able to control the game in different ways and not defensively, whether it's, you know, on the power play, moving around with those guys or skating the puck and making a great first pass. So I think he's really come into his own in the last year and a half on a different level. You know, I think he's really, his game's gone to a different level. And, you know, I always, you know, having him as a Bruin for this long a time, you don't necessarily know what the guy from the outside is going to look like when he comes here. So if you can get a guy that's been in your organization for this long and is homegrown, if you can keep these guys, and that's what the Bruins have done so well, is they've kept their guys in-house. I think you look to do that and willing to do a little bit more to keep those guys than to let them go and then try to find a piece that fits that role in the offseason somewhere else.
Now, this team was one game away last year from, you know, winning it all. This year, they're on an unbelievable start. How much pressure do you think these players are feeling just, you know, from fans and media because the expectations are so high? And will that pressure help them or hurt them as they continue to go on through this season and to ultimately closing the deal, which is winning a Stanley Cup?
Yeah, you know, I think they feel disappointed as much as anyone. You know, I think they all obviously know what they had right in front of them. You know, but I also think, you know, those guys recognize how hard it is to get to a Stanley Cup final in Game 7. And I think they're also pretty proud of what they did at the end of the day. And they're, like I said earlier about this road trip and winning this next game, they're greedy and they have a lot of pride and they want to win every night. So, you know, I think that there's pressure on the outside and you know, maybe more so the core guys would love to, you know, cement their legacy and et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, they stay pretty game to game and they just work real hard and work for each other. And so I don't know if the pressure is going to get to them from the outside. I think they just want to win.
So the morning show was making mock of our acting abilities with our open last night. I'm just saying.
Come on.
It seemed harsh to me. I mean, you're right. How dare they? But a little inside, you know, radio TV for you boys and girls. Not only did Andrew make the glove save and he wouldn't take the glove off last night, what you don't know is that on the glove it says Rask.
Oh, boy.
You were using Tuukka Rask's glove last night.
No,
I was. I mean, yeah, my kids love Tuukka, so I was able to, you know, I might know a guy or two there. So I was, the kids used those gloves down for mini sticks down in the basement. And because we had planned our acting ability so far in advance, I had to rush and get a glove as I was running out of the house because, again, my acting, I've been practicing that bit for so long.
Well, it obviously showed. I'm sure there's an Emmy in your future for all of that. I mean, you already won an Emmy, right?
You won an Emmy for your acting chops
with Patrice Bergeron and that Bruins commercial back in the day. Wow.
I do have an Emmy in the house. And hopefully no one saw it last night because I might have to give it back.
We are going to find that commercial and we're going to post it on the Dale and Keith Twitter account because you look like you're about 12 and Patrice looks like he's 9.
I know,
commercial.
He's even younger.
Yeah, I know.
It's incredible.
Andrew, we appreciate it. We'll be talking to you throughout the season. Thanks.
Awesome. Look forward to it. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Andrew.
That is
former Bruins goaltender Andrew Raycroft, one of my Nesson colleagues, and he is our Tuukka Rask whisperer.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.